Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, November the 20th, 2016.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church. My name is Mike Swanson. I'm the co-pastor here at Grace. We're excited for all that God is going to do in the service this morning. We're glad you chose to be with us. But as we get started this morning, please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all the ways that you bless us and the ways that you meet the needs that we have in our lives, Father. And as we gather together this morning to worship you and praise you, I pray that in our hearts you would do a work that brings us closer to you. I pray that all the things that are said and done today will bring honor and glory to you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we sing together, worship together in song, and hopefully reflect on some things that we're thankful for as we progress through this morning's music, The Splendor of the King.
The splendor of the King, and clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself. Tries to hide and trembles at his voice.
we have much to be thankful for today. Probably nothing more than your amazing grace to us. So we stand here today and are thankful for that, for this salvation that is possible through faith in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. So if there's anybody here without you today, please open their eyes to the wonderful grace that's afforded them today. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Just last Sunday, we wrapped up our GO conference, a week in which we got to know some people a lot better, got to be challenged about the things that God is doing through their lives and ministries all throughout the world. People that are committed full-time to doing that work wherever God has led them. Well, this morning's GO story is from someone who God has been leading in that way, and I don't want to tell too much of the story because she's going to come do it. But this morning we have Lily McDowell, who's going to share with us about what God is doing in her life as it concerns missions.
Hi, my name is Lily and I am 9 years old and in the fourth grade. When I was just 3, I went to my very first missions conference. I came out and told my mom that I wanted to be a medical missionary. Since that time, I have had a special place in my heart for missionaries and their work. I've gotten to talk to so many of them and hear how the Lord is using them. When I think about the medical field, I am excited because I want to help people with sickness, help them to heal physically, but I also want to help them to heal spiritually. Work in medicine and on the missions field isn't really that different, except in missions, people are healed forever. It helps to save them forever, so even if you can't heal them on earth, they can be healed for eternity in heaven through Jesus. This January, God has given my mom and I a great opportunity to go to Togo, West Africa. While we are there, we will be serving alongside a long-term missionary family at the wards. We will tour the ABWE hospital, talk to doctors, and help in the blind school. We will play games with local kids and tell them about Jesus. I want to encourage others to know God and know the salvation only He can give. I want to encourage kids to get involved in missions. The Bible often tells believers to have the faith of a child. It also says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one despise you of your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." So we children have a big responsibility to set the example, to serve the Lord while we are young, to witness to others now. I want to do that through this trip and when I get back. I will have times when I fail and receive God's forgiveness and strength. I want kids to know that failing is okay and doesn't make us less before the Lord. We are still valuable to Him and still have a calling to walk in His image and follow Him. One of my favorite songs says, "Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong." Because it reminds me that this life is temporary. If you look at the long line of eternity, this life is just a tiny dot. I want to use this tiny dot of my time on earth to show others how to live for eternity with Jesus. So, through faith, I am following the Lord to West Africa to spread the gospel, encourage others, and shine His light. So I am sure many of you are thinking, "I want to go on a missions trip." Well, you can go on this one. You can go by supporting my mom and I with prayer. Pray that we honor God, grow His kingdom, and spread His word. After praying, if you feel led, you can support us financially. We have just about $2,500 left to raise. God has already provided the rest. So if you feel God calling you to give, please do. But no matter what, please pray for us and tell us you're praying. It encourages us. I'm going to leave you with a verse that is very special to me and probably familiar to you. Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Grace, it's time for my mom and me to go to Togo.
All right. Excellent. Okay, I want to make sure I know the kids heading out for... Okay, so here's what I want to do. All the kids, if you could, fairly quickly, if you guys just want to come on down here and a couple of you come up, we'll come down here, and if you guys want to come down, we're going to pray with Lily. All right, you can come on down with us down here in front of the stage. And if you guys want to come by, and the first ones that get here, just kind of put a hand on her shoulder very gently. Yeah, I have a kid. Things aren't always gentle. How about these guys right here? Would you guys put just a hand on each of her shoulders? You guys want to do that? Just right up there? Pray with her? The rest of you guys, you can come and kind of hold hands. We'll all just stand here together because we're going to go out together in just a minute, okay? It's kind of cool that we've got somebody right here who's in Awana with you guys and in the children's ministry. She's about to go back there with you guys and getting ready to head out to Togo, which is really cool. And so we, so for all of us, so you guys know, as a church, you know, we had Beth and Lily that came to us and said this is a trip they wanted to take. And for someone that age, it was, you know, it's a big step. And so we did just kind of a lot of investigating and praying and checking in, and just we are excited to be behind these folks and heading out on this trip. And so I know Beth will be around, and Lily, if you want to get some more information about that. Okay, let's pray together, okay? Father, we do thank you so much for Lily and for her mom and the desire that you've given them to go out into the world and to serve. So God, as they prepare to go out to Togo, God, we pray that you would prepare them spiritually, that you would provide for them, of course, and prepare the work that you have ahead. I pray that it's a wonderful time for Lily to look into the possibility of the future that you have called her to. And God, we just pray that you would use them to do incredible work before they even get there, starting even in the plane ride there, Lord. May they be a blessing to our missionaries there and for your kingdom as well. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Kids, if you would follow your leaders out, and they're going to take you into your kids' time. All right, it's good to have you guys here this morning. I kind of figured a lot of folks would be traveling. I'm guessing that's probably coming pretty soon, and this is kind of the time of year that a lot of traveling starts happening, and things get, it seems even busier. Even though we have time off, it seems to be a busier time of year. And as Americans, just as the United States, as a culture, we are kind of known for being really, really busy and fast-paced and have this really high focus on achievement. And so a lot of times if you ask somebody, hey, are you busy? They answer yes, because they always want to be known for being busy, because that's kind of celebrated in our culture. If you go around the world, though, a lot of other people and other nations think that we are absolutely insane, that we just drive ourselves way too hard. And in some ways, they're right. In some ways, maybe not, because I don't think it's all bad. You know, we want to achieve things. We want to do great things, and especially as the Lord would lead us to do those things. But it can also cause really high anxiety. A lot of times we get so focused on what's coming up next and pushing toward the next thing that needs to be done that we never really take time to reflect on what's already happened and what the Lord has just accomplished. We don't take time to celebrate and really very rarely ever take time to just rest. I know we're in the midst of football season, and we are in the South, and so we all are probably experts in college football, but I think college football coaches tend to kind of epitomize this whole idea of high anxiety, high work, fast pace, because these guys, so many of them work absolutely insane hours, and we see that during the football season, but it's not like that's the only time that it happens. This is happening for them all year around. And so, especially during football season, you know, they're working hard in these crazy hours all week long, and then they come to a game, and then, you know, say they even win that game, they get maybe an evening to be able to kind of reflect on it, maybe to celebrate a little bit, to rest a little bit, but then boom, the next morning they're right back at it, and they're reviewing everything and looking forward to what's coming next and preparing for that next game. And so a lot of them, it's just so fast-paced, they end up with even heart trouble, physical trouble. Urban Meyer, a coach, used to be at the University of Florida and had to leave because he was having physical problems in his heart, and a young man who was having that kind of trouble. They also end up, and this was the case with Urban Meyer as well, that there are a lot of family troubles that come up. Because you're not getting the time. You're with your coaching staff and with your students constantly, but your family is just kind of left out on their own as they work, you know, sometimes 100 hours a week. And so families start to have trouble. And so thankfully, I pray that Urban Meyer is doing much better in his new coaching role after he had a year to kind of take a little bit of time away. But it's tough to just keep up this fast pace. I'm guessing that a lot of us are the same way, that we struggle with just constantly looking to the next thing and always being busy and never taking time to celebrate, never taking time to rest, and it can be absolutely exhausting. You don't have to be some kind of, you know, a football coach or other coach or a CEO or some kind of executive, or, you know, we hear a lot about, at least I do, that, you know, police officers, other public servants can just work crazy hours and be so stressful. But it doesn't have to be one of those professions to get worn out, because We all do it. You know, we can all overdo it sometimes. I hear from retirees that say that they're more busy now than they were when they were working a full-time job. And it happens in all kinds of professions, and it just happens in regular life, and that's kind of how our culture is set up here. And the results end up being the same for anybody who's pushing that hard all the time and never taking time to reflect. It can be really exciting, it can be really fun, and it can be motivating even and encouraging to others, and people may look up to you for it, and it can be fun, and it can be productive, but it leads to exhaustion. It can lead to physical problems and restlessness and difficulties with families. And for a long time, especially if you look kind of into the 90s when kind of you had this church growth movement very focused on building huge churches, that a lot of pastors got into that same kind of rhythm, that there was just never any rest and it was exhausting. And they worked insane hours and they neglected their families and they neglected even their own personal devotional life to do the work of the church. That's not good. We see that sometimes, and thankfully a lot of that has gone away, but I still see some of the evidence of this when we look at just kind of our pastor network meetings, that these guys come in and they're just getting run ragged, and they'll talk about difficulties that they may be having at home and just being able to lead their families because they're just working so hard. I'm thankful, too, that for years now, a lot of pastors have been placing safeguards in their life to help them to keep from doing these things. And churches are coming alongside them and helping them to do those things. And it's an incredible blessing to pastors to have that. It's a God-given kind of thing because God gave us the Sabbath early on in creation, like, you know, the beginning. And he gave us the Sabbath partly because we need rest. I'm not just talking about pastors, that's people. We need rest. That's how our bodies are created. But it's not just for rest. We need to reflect on God. Take that time to rest and think about who he is and think about his goodness and his blessings. And I think there's one particular word in the Bible that we need to practice more often. And that is Selah. Some may pronounce it differently, I don't care. But that's really the Selah. That is the only point, the main point in our outline today. And we don't need to clutter everything today, especially around Thanksgiving. We just need Selah. Selah in Scripture, it's not really a word that is used in the line of a sentence. It is simply a word that is a signal to pause and to reflect on what you've just read. That word is used twice as often as the word amen. Three times in the Old Testament, three times more often than hallelujah. And it only appears in the Psalms. All except for two writers of the Psalms, Moses and Solomon, used it. I want to look at one example of it in Psalm chapter 3. We'll read that whole chapter. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. My glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah. There are three sections in that chapter that are each kind of separated and then end in that word, Selah. He starts out in those first few verses, and it's a recognition of a really difficult situation. The enemies are everywhere. They're all against me. They're saying, God can't deliver you from this. God can't do it. But then he has this word, Selah, pause, rest, reflect. If we look after this kind of crazy election season that we've had here, and we just kind of see there is a lot of division in the country, and I do hope and pray never in our churches, there are people who are still living in fear. Beyond those kinds of things, it doesn't take an election for that. I am completely certain that there are people here now who are living in fear of life circumstances. Things that you're struggling with just in daily life. And so whatever is causing you concern, whatever is causing you anxiety, Selah. Pause. Rest. Reflect. If you look at what David wrote here, because he was able to pause, because he was able to Selah, to reflect, he looks to who God is and he looks into what that means for him. It's a really common pattern in the Psalms. It's really, this is kind of what all of Scripture, the whole of Scripture does. He starts out with this part that says, life is hopeless. And this is basically the gospel that this kind of what is presented here. It says, life is hopeless. There is no way out of this on my own. I don't have the power to do this. On my own power, there's nothing I can do to get away from this. And I'm sure that in the situations in our lives, there are a lot of those that is very true. That there is nothing you can do. Myself, I hate being told you can't do that. If you want to get me to do something, tell me I can't. I'm not just talking about like in a rebellious way, but just tell me it's impossible to do it, and I'll find a way to get it done. But he recognizes finally he can't do it on his own, but he recognizes too, God can, and God does, and God has, because of Selah. Whatever the struggle, looking to yourself, looking and then focusing on your circumstances, that's only going to make things worse. What we need is Selah, to pause and rest and reflect. And because he had refocused on God, he was able to rest and he was able to take a whole new look at life's situation that he was facing. The situation, as he looked at it, nothing had necessarily changed in the actual circumstances around his life. But as he looked at the situation, things didn't seem so daunting anymore because he had looked beyond it and he looked to the Lord. Things seemed different. He looked at how God had moved and he praised him for it. He paused and reflected and he just rested. He remembered the one that he served. He remembered who is in control. He remembered that the one who is in control has a plan. What causes you anxiety? Is God in control of it? How have you seen him work throughout your life already? And does that give you hope that he's going to work now? Especially as we look to the eternal. Selah. Pause. Rest. Reflect. And that's what I want to do. Selah. To pause and reflect and rest today, just to look at how God has moved and to praise him for what he's done. And I'm talking about us today here as a church. This is not going to be a highly exegetical day. I'm not really trying to come in today and to teach a whole lot. I just want to focus more on remembering who God is and what he's done and then just praising him for it, for what he's already done this year, for things that he has to come. And we're going to focus on a lot of the great things that he's done, but we're also going to see ways that we need to grow. And I'll mention some of those. But it's just wonderful, I think, for us to take time as a church, as a congregation, and that's really what tonight is going to be about as well. But I'm the pastor. I get the privilege of standing up here and doing it first and just talking about God's goodness. And so I'm excited about that. So I want to move through today kind of like David did in the Psalms. And so look at Psalm 139. We'll have it on the screen. And I'm going to ask us in just a second to read this out loud together as our own prayer to the Lord. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. It makes it tough to read that way, all right? So let's read this together as a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me the everlasting way. Today I'm asking each of us, myself included, just to be open to see how you've grown this year, what God has done in your life. But also I want us to look at ways that maybe we have refused to grow, that we refuse to change, or that we maybe have even refused to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our life this year, as individuals and even as a congregation. I want to look at what God has done and how he's revealed himself to us, how good he is, and then just praise him for that. So we look at this year, if you look in the kind of the bottom right here, you see kind of our hashtag that's there to be a reminder of kind of what our goal has been for this year that we talked about in January, to become Grace. And that's not just to become this particular church, but to become what this church is named, to be a people of grace. That when people think about this church, they think of graciousness. So we look at that, that's kind of what I want to reflect on today. We started out even this calendar year just looking at who we are as a church. And we talked a little bit about kind of our philosophy or our strategy, our mission of gather, grow, and go. And so we started out wanting to understand and embrace that philosophy. And my goal in that, my prayer is that we would understand it, that we'd kind of own it together, but that it would remind us of who we are. The words themselves aren't the most important. It's no different than what was said before, just a few different words. It's no different than what other churches do. It's just how we say it. And so I'd ask us again just to recite together who we are, what we do as a church. We gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. We started out the year talking about gather. We went into gather and then grow and then go, and we talked about each of those. And we started out, we spent a couple of weeks on each. And when we talked about gather, one of the weeks, and this is, I look back and I'm just trying to reflect on all of these things, but one of the things that I just loved doing myself was the Praise Project. And I think that one has been the most downloaded message that we've had all year, the one that's been viewed the most of any of them. And it was really cool because the staff all came together and kind of talked about these different words for praise from the Old Testament. And so we saw just what we're supposed to be doing. So many times we could get focused on what we've always done and forget what God has called us to do. And so from that time, we got incredible feedback on it. That's great. But from that day, we started seeing kind of this growing freedom in an expression of worship, of praise to God. I saw that happen within myself, and I saw it happening with others. And while I think maybe some of the physical expression may have waned a little bit as we go back to kind of what is customary for us, what has definitely remained has been that there is a freedom for people, that I don't think people feel any kind of criticism or judgment for expressing themselves in biblical ways to praise God. And it's beautiful to see that happening. I focused a lot on unity this year, and to the extent that some people have asked if there are a lot of problems with unity and disorder within the church, and there's not. But as a pastor, I hear about those things, and I never want any of those to continue on. But one of the things that I praise God for is there are relationships within the church that I knew were struggling. And ones that I thought nothing would ever happen in them, that those people are just too stubborn. God did amazing things, and I've heard of people coming together and binding back together in unity and love. Honestly, there are still some that I know of that are holding on to past hurts. There are some hurts that are still ongoing that need to be addressed, they need to stop, and there are people that need to come together and to fix relationships, and that takes a lot. It takes following the Holy Spirit, but it takes personal and intentional humiliation, humbling yourself to go and admit that maybe you've done something wrong, or just to go and say, you know what, I'm gonna forgive you, whether you want it or not. We've seen a lot of people making progress too. Just reflecting more on what God's done this year, there's been, I think, a lot of progress just in how we welcome people and love new people that are coming in. And whether it's just the way that we greet and get people to give information or the way that we pass information on, one of the things I keep hearing about the church is how friendly and inviting we are. I don't think that's a new thing. It's just I get to look at this stuff as the new-ish guy, although the deacons did come together and officially vote that I am no longer your new pastor, I'm just your pastor. So, but still, there's a newness to these things that I get to experience things that you guys have experienced forever, and it's been fun. I've personally, you know, me and Judith, we've had a great time just hanging out with you guys. So we talk about gather, some of our bigger gathering events, and I get that the July 4th is more of an outreach kind of thing, but that was a blast. And I've thought about like our Sunday evenings, especially over the summer. I enjoy the other Sunday evenings as well. But over the summer, when we started bringing all the kids and just multiple generations together, And hearing kids who were calling out for certain hymns they wanted to sing, and then seeing kids with more grown adults who are learning together, and like older adults learning from little kids, that was fun. And then after those times, we just got to get together and hang out and either have a picnic or play some games or whatever it might have been. And it's just fun. I hope you guys see this. I'm just talking about myself here, and I hope you experience the same things. But it's a blessing to gather as God's people, as His church. And it's fun to do it. Last year, we started looking for people who were going to be home alone for the holidays. And we had folks who would just kind of write in and say, hey, my home is open for anyone who needs a place to be. And this year we want to do the same thing. If you guys would even just take out your plug-in card and write on there either, you know, my home is available, or you can write on there, I need a place to go. And don't be ashamed to do that. People move into the area, right? People have loved ones who move out of the area. All kinds of things happen that would mean that maybe you don't have a place to go with others for the holidays. Even if you are just, you may have a whole family here, and you still just want to get together with other people, awesome, do it. Some of you have lost your parents in the past year, year and a half. We've seen a lot of loss like that here in this church, and so maybe you just need some kind of surrogate parents to come in and invite you into their home for the holidays. Just write that on the plug-in card, because we want to help you with that and get you connected with people. I didn't want to go on too long. My notes aren't as detailed. I just wanted to kind of share from my heart, but I practiced this with Judith on Thursday, as I usually do anyway, and went really, really long because I don't have detailed notes to keep me in line. And then she reminded me that she's in the nursery today, so I can't go on forever about these things. I want to talk about how we've grown this year as we gather, grow, and go. And when I talk about church growth, I pretty much am almost never talking about growing in numbers. I'm much more interested in heart and life change than I am in how many people show up in a room, although I know that I have the tendency to judge myself by that, and I got a couple few men here that kind of help to keep me from doing that all the time, because it can be obsessive in some ways. But so we've talked about growth, and we started out talking about the Grow Ministry and what we do with Sunday school and with grace groups, and then we got into this series on kind of life-to-life relationships, and we looked at how Jesus invested in lives in the book of Mark and walked briefly through the whole thing. In Titus 2, we're told that the older generations are supposed to invest in the younger, and so we spent some time looking into that. And so as I reflect on that for this year, I'm thinking about just some of the relationships. I've gotten to start a couple of relationships with guys that I get to invest in. And one of those is, I think, getting more and more frequent. And it's really been good. One of the really cool things about it was how difficult it was to find some of those relationships, because I'd go to guys that I wanted to invest in and somebody is already doing it. So that was kind of fun. And I've seen other people starting those same kinds of relationships, and people on both ends calling somebody to say, hey, would you take time to invest in me? And others kind of going in and saying, hey, can we just get together, grab some lunch, and just, you know, talk about life and talk about God's word together and how those happen. And so we're seeing a lot of those kind of relationships. My silly goal that every statistic would tell you is impossible is that I want to see 100% of the people in this church involved in disciple-making relationships, that you are investing in somebody, that somebody is investing in you. Again, that's a stupid goal because everyone tells you it's unachievable. Well, my God can do it, so we're going to ask for that anyway. And again, if that's something, it's a way that we can grow as a church, it's something we need to grow in, write it on your plug-in card, you know, or your information card. Just mark that you want to be in that kind of relationship. We're here to help you make that happen and help you facilitate those kind of things. We got as well, as we were going through Grow, we got into the series on the book of James. And so we get a look at this hashtag, Become Grace. And James is so much about that. The interesting thing is that James, people look at that book and they think it's all about rules that you follow. But looking at James and looking at what he's really writing, it kind of helps us understand this tension between grace and works and legalism and license. And so we've seen people, I think, growing in grace, becoming grace, understanding that a lot of times these rules that we have for one another and for ourselves aren't necessarily even in God's word. We just kind of add those on and we make these expectations for other people. And I've seen some of that going away. But even then, we also have started, I think, to see more and more of the grace that we have, and we've offered that to ourselves, able to live without shame and guilt because God has freed us from that, even though, yes, sin is sin and it's always wrong. We've got grace from it. Also realizing that James is kind of answering in a more extended way Paul's question, should we sin more that grace may abound? And Paul says emphatically, absolutely not. And so James kind of expounds on that and says, we obey God because we trust God. And that's an amazing way to grow. We don't obey God so that he doesn't smite us or so that we can earn favor with him, because our favor only comes because of Christ. The more we trust God, the more we become grace. The more we trust God and we live out our faith, it looks like obedience, and it allows us still to offer grace to others. And I'm very thankful for how that's worked in my life and bringing me freedom and helping me just to refocus on how God has called us to live. That book talks about how we're supposed to relate to one another as well. And I see relationships growing here. Again, not that they were bad. It's just exciting to be a part of it. Grow, I think our biggest thing that we were focusing on in the grow portion this year was our grace groups, the grace intergenerational groups. And, you know, we've had some who were in grace groups and then others who had not experienced it, but the intergenerational part was new. And so it was exciting from the beginning. I mean, just kind of planning the whole thing out, worked a lot in particular with Pastor Kelly on that. And just figuring out what's going to be taught, how are the groups going to come together, praying through that. And, you know, we prayed for, you know, a good portion of the church to get involved. And if you look at just kind of statistically how you might start out with doing, you know, Sunday evening groups, we blew it away. I mean, it was just amazing how many people we saw at the tables who were signing up. And it was a great blessing to see people really, some willing to try something new and then getting into it. So it's been, I'm just thankful for the stories that I keep hearing from people from about every group of what those groups have meant and the connections that people are making relationally. But then how, you know, we use the series Gospel-Shaped Worship, and then hearing stories about how, you know, even though we're looking at things that probably aren't new to most of us, able to kind of take and really focus on what God's Word says about how the gospel should impact the way that we come together to worship. And people were changed by that. The way that we worship, the way that we come into this gathering was impacted by the way that we were growing together. On a very personal note for Judith and I, it's been just a wonderful, refreshing time. I love teaching from here in the pulpit and enjoyed doing that on Sunday evenings. But to have that time to get together with people in a small group and in our home and to share our own hearts, to be vulnerable with people and just say, hey, here's where we may struggle. Here's an area where I can grow. And to have others who would do that with us in a group setting, this is wonderful. Our prayer time was some of my favorite time of all of it, is and the way we did it in our group. We'd do some prayer together, but we'd split between the guys and the girls, and with teenagers and children all with us. So I've got, you know, this little, now almost Tuesday, he'll be 1 year old, sitting there with us, and he's hearing these men praying for one another. We got a little Sam Thompson, you know, not that little, but he's 9 years old now, that's, you know, sitting in there and praying along with us. And just those times were just so sweet, and just enjoying one another. And this is one of those areas where Judith said, I have to speed it up. And so I can't go on and on. It's just, it's been a wonderful time. We look forward to starting it back up next semester as well. We get on to go, and that's certainly where one of my great passions is as well. We've seen Pastor Mike getting to move more and more into that go role and move away from some of the finances, although he's got to keep up some of those things. I have enjoyed getting to know the Spolino family. So excited that so many of you got to see them here preaching, but then a lot of you got to get together with them at lunches and picnics and when your grace groups and Sunday school classes met with them. But just hearing the work that they're doing and thinking about what's happening in the DR, Mike and I are getting ready to go down there, we think, hopefully in just a couple of weeks, to really experience the work. But getting to talk to them about what's happening and how we as a church can get involved, and then seeing the excitement of the church for those partnerships has been a blast. This year, I've had the opportunity, because the folks in here have invited Judith and I to a lot of the different banquets. So I've been to the Choices Banquet and the LifeSpring Banquet, First Things First. And I loved that because I got to learn about the ministries, but even more because I got to see how our people here at Grace are getting involved in those ministries. And that was really fun. I showed up at the First Things First, and no one said this was going to happen, but Mike and Kim White are on the video. Surprise, surprise. Mike talked a lot more than Kim, but that's how it goes. But it was just fun to see those things and see opportunities for us to get involved and how the church is already doing that. And then introducing the Hakoba Care Ministry is just another opportunity for us to really get involved here locally and making an impact for the gospel. We've got ongoing partnerships too with like our prison ministries that people are constantly visiting and just really investing in people there. I've loved the ghost stories here. Okay, today was really cool having a 9-year-old girl share about going to Togo, right? And that's exciting. And that was an idea that I think that came up from our staff, I think, at the staff retreat that we did a few months ago. And it's been really fun for me too, not just seeing like Lily up here, but all the people coming up and then having the children, as we've started doing, the children sitting here and listening directly to them. And so as these people are telling their stories to children, I think it really helps all of us to understand those things a little bit more. But I really look forward to the day when, you know, when Lee and, you know, hopefully we get to have him that long, that he can be sitting here and watching and listening to missionaries and then also to people from the church talk about how they're going and how God is using them. I don't know if you guys noticed me fidgeting. I really like to get up and walk around, but because it's Selah, peace and rest, I'm really trying to sit in a chair. This is hard. I'm working on it. Yeah, I knew Kelly would really struggle here. We're going to make Kelly do this one of these days. But yeah, I get to see our little one. He doesn't sit very well either. But one of my favorite things about the ghost story is that we're calling them ghost stories, and it's a cheesy name that I get. Sounds like we're saying ghost story, and I'm not right in the head, and so I get to have fun with those kinds of things. But it's been great to hear how people here are getting out and going. And I think a lot of times, a lot of pastors probably don't know everything their churches are doing. And so just because we're doing this, I get to hear more of people who are coming to me and sharing these things. And that's a lot of fun. It's just really encouraging as a pastor. And not like I started any of it. I just get to see the blessing it is to be your pastor. You know, we're coming into Faith Promise, and it's just cool to see how, you know, even if the actual promised amount isn't what we need to cover all of the missionaries, it still tends to come through. We are behind this year. Paul Snyder, head of our missions committee, is going to be coming up and sharing just on where we're at on Faith Promise for this year and kind of, you know, we still need a lot of that to come in so for next year. And we prefer not to have to, you know, wonder what's coming in, but it's just good to see how this church gives to missionaries and just loves on them so well, beyond just giving financially. But, you know, we know our missionaries. These are our friends. I don't know how many of them, hey, all missionaries out there, because there are a bunch of them, I don't know if you're aware of this, watching the service right now live. And that's one of the fun things about our live stream. And it's just, there's a wonderful relationship that I've seen with them. And that's exciting. Look, too, at our family ministry that we've kind of tried to bring together a little bit more to coordinate things a little bit better in the past year. And I see growing enthusiasm in the youth ministry and the children's ministry. I see our youth who are leading us, I think, in a lot of ways in mission and you know, the partnerships that they've had with other mission organizations and local outreach. There's a lot that we can learn from them, and we are. There's a really exciting vision. I keep talking about how Caitlin is what she wants to do with our children's ministry, with our VBS this summer, and using it halfway just to reach out to another area of our community. And I cannot wait for that to get here to see how that goes and what the Lord does through it. The children's ministry has been reaching out like farmers market and doing some other cool stuff. And you know, I've been too just thinking about the family ministry. I've been serving as a Sparks leader on Wednesday nights, and it is a lot of fun. But it also has proven to me that we have wonderful leaders here who are really, really good with kids, way better than I am. I'm a little bit on the OCD side, and they put me in with like 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. That's sheer chaos, people. Like, where is Greg Estes? Are you here today? There he is. That man leads games, and he does it for Sparks, and it's insane. Like, I curl up in a corner and cry. But I love them. I'm having a blast with them and serving in there and seeing how others are doing this. I, you know, he probably cuts his hair close because he's pulling it all out, I guess. But the leaders here are so good with the kids, and the kids love being there. And I get to hear these kids. I started out initially, I was only supposed to go in and just be kind of listening to them, sharing what they're learning from Scripture. And I've gotten to do a lot more than that. But these kids are in there saying, hey, here's the Bible verse that I memorized. And the material goes beyond just I memorized it, but I get to ask them, hey, what does that really mean? Do you really understand this? These are little kids, and they're like, yeah, you want me to explain that to you a little bit better, Pastor? they're wonderful. Just great things happening in the family ministry. And we talked early in the year, I had said, regarding just family ministry, but also adults, that my goal for the summer was actually to do a series on milestones and just how in the Bible we see God developing people spiritually. And we didn't have enough time. And I mentioned that we may not have enough time to develop that. And we're hoping to get to that this coming spring and summer. I'll mention a little bit more about that in a minute. But one of the things that happened, I knew if we didn't do that, what I wanted to do was the series on church history. And so obviously that is what we did. If you've been around, that you got to be a part of that. But the goal of it was to help us as a church to see how we got to be, not just as an individual local church, but as the church, how we got to be where we are today and what's right about it, what may be wrong about it as well. And I learned a ton from that series personally and had a great time just even preparing it. It was a lot of work to do, and I thought it was really worthwhile. I hope all of you thought so. I know that some of you studied church history more than I did in seminary and Bible college, and so it may have been a lot of just kind of old hat for you, but we were getting a lot of comments every week that were really encouraging just about, you know, how people are connecting with what we're supposed to be as a church and realizing in some areas where we've gone wrong and other areas where, man, the church is just in a great spot. And, you know, one of the goals was to help us to get back to the biblical idea of church and not just about traditions, although traditions are wonderful. They're certainly not all bad, but it helped us, I think, to, and me as a church leader, to refocus on what God's word says about his church rather than just what I always wanted or thought or liked or how I grew up. And for me, it really helped to kind of connect with history a little bit, with the saints who have gone before us. And it was a wonderful time that I praise God for, because I got to see how he's constantly working throughout history in people's lives. You know, there are still things that we struggle with, any of us, myself and any of us here in the church, that or these ideas of this is how we've always done things, or this is how we think church is supposed to be done because that's what we've seen and what we've known. But it's been beautiful to see the freedom that we've grown in as a church to be able to, even though that's maybe what we like, we understand that it may not always be the only way, and we're more open to different people and just kind of accepting others. That series reminded me, and I think it maybe a reminder to all of us, that we need to constantly have grace toward other people, because we're on different sides sometimes as individuals on, you know, how traditional to be and these kind of things. And we grow up differently. And I think people have started to realize that not everybody in here grew up in the same environments. And so I think it's kind of led us to being more gracious toward each other. And it's done that for me, I think, just to understand that people grow up differently. And so we don't place expectations based on our life onto other people. And there's been, a unity and just kind of a fellowship that's grown out of that. And I've learned a lot personally this year as well. And I think the biggest thing has been just to trust God. I mentioned earlier that, you know, as any pastor, I struggle with, you know, wanting to have, you know, the church growing, because honestly, it has a lot more to do with that's how the American church measures success. And I want people to look at me as being successful or whatever. And so it has more to do with what people think. But I've got to trust God with those things. I've been praying for more, especially for adults. We want to continue seeing children saved, but especially want to see adults saved and baptized here. And I see all of us. I'm hearing more and more stories. I'm getting more opportunities myself to share the gospel with people. And I'm learning to trust the Lord more, knowing that I could share the gospel all day long. All of you can, but we cannot save anyone. I know that. I know that you know that. But sometimes we don't act by what we know, right? You know, our anxieties come up and we try to make things happen on our own. babies have been a tough one, trusting God with that as we faced another loss this year, but it's within the past year that we were also given the cutest little boy on earth. I know some of you think your boys are cuter. That's fine. You can be wrong. But no. But he's just, it's been a blessing to have this little child in our home, and we still are sitting here trusting God. I think I got a picture up there we can put up here. This little kid.
Maybe, come here, baby.
There
come
we go.
Come get the ball. Come get the ball. There was one or two. Good job, baby.
We can just go on with that forever, I think. But, you know, that's a blessing that we've got, and we've got to trust God for his future and our future with him. And it's tough, but Selah. God's been good to us in the past. We have a glorious future awaiting. We don't know what that looks like. We know what we want it to look like, but we trust God for it. Got to trust God for the building stuff. We've had pictures up there for close to a year now of some of the building renovations that we're looking for. If I had my way, because I'm not known for patience, we'd be done already. Or at least, broken ground, all paid for, that kind of stuff. But we, you know, this kind of goes into one of my other lessons I learned. I'll talk about it in a second, but we kind of had to slow down and get the team together. There's been a great building team that's come together to make some of those plans. And so some of those pictures out there aren't what are going to go into plans because the building team came together and said, well, wouldn't this be better and cheaper? And I like when those things go together. And so really before long, we should have actual biddable price plans in front of people so we can, as a congregation, can come together and really make the final decisions on where to go and then hopefully see some things moving potentially as early as spring. But again, I got to trust God on his timing. You know, the church unity thing, we've talked about that, and that's one of those I want to trust the Lord for, because whenever I hear of tension, it's good that I hear about those things when there is, you know, tension in relationships, because I want to help to heal those things. But I also sometimes want to get out and just kind of, you know, pull people together and say, you know, put them in a closet and say, fix it and don't come out until you do. But that's me trying to just take control. And that's not my role. That's not right. I've got to trust God for those things. You know, one of the things in unity too that I praise God for and kind of trust him for, we just went through an election and it's contentious. And I'm thankful that I don't think that it's come in too heavily here. I know that there have been some times that people have gotten outspoken about political things at some points. But here's the deal, folks. You understand, we are not a Republican church. We're not a Democratic church either. We're libertarian. So, no. Some of you just left. You're like, we're out of here. No. No, we're not a political body. Yes, we fight for what, you know, we want to vote in ways that Scripture would call us to vote for those things, but do you understand that people can look at Scripture and think that different parties might have the best way of accomplishing those things? I mean, mine is right, but but thankfully we haven't seen, you know, too much bickering and those kind of things in the midst of contentious times, and we trust God to carry us forward and to keep us as a church. Another lesson that I have learned and I've kind of alluded to here is simply to slow down. And that includes what I'm talking about now, Selah, pause, rest, reflect, because I always want to drive forward. But also just my physical rate of speech. I was really excited to have Dan Nichols here a couple of weeks ago because that dude talks fast. And so it was just, I think, vindicating for me that it's not just me. It's just a northern rust belt kind of thing. And I've got to learn to slow down a little bit just to make sure that God's word is getting across as well. But also just slowing down like today and just thinking about what God's done. The whole thing with milestones, waiting on that, realizing that if we pushed ahead like I wanted to with developing our milestone understanding here, it would have killed some of our staff. And I'd probably be looking for some new people. And so we just kind of backed off on those things and I trust God for that as well. I learned that cafeteria tables aren't very comfortable to sit in for long periods of time. And so that's why tonight we're meeting in here. Future gather reports we are planning, and the staff made me do this, and they're right. We're planning just to kind of start out in the back for the meal and then come in here to finish up the gather report time so that we can sit comfortably and not annoy everybody. But in general, though, I look back on this year, and I praise God. I see how he's working in individual lives, how he's working in the church as a whole, and it's not like any of this is new. He's been doing it here. I just get to be a part of it now, and that's fun. I see people growing in grace toward one another and toward outsiders, and with, you know, like Celebrate Recovery is doing a great job of reaching people outside and caring so well. I see our deacons who, that's been one of the goals for this year, to see more care for more people, and the deacons have really stepped it up to love on people well, and half the time they make it to visit somebody who's sick or struggling before I do, and that's awesome. You know, I think I've seen the grace growing perhaps more than anywhere else in our academy is, you know, the academy's been through some tough times, but the faculty and staff and students and parents have come together toward one another in love and grace, and sometimes it takes going through tension to get to that point. And if you guys, I mean, if you haven't already, you know, schedule a time to walk through the school, because if you don't schedule a time, then we call the police on you. We got to know that you're going to be, you know, walking through with our children. But just to see what's going on, and just the love and the grace and just the joy that's happening there. I've seen the church being accepting of people with different backgrounds and cultures, and looking to move outside of these walls to go in grace. And then very personally with Judith and I and with Lee, you know, we just continue to grow closer to people here and to become more and more of just family, and to feel and experience incredible love in good times and bad times from our congregation. And I don't mean our congregation like I own you or rule you, but as in like ours, we're a part of this. You know, we're together. My prayer, our prayer together, and we share this, I know, with the search committee, if not with the whole church, was that we would finally find home. And for both of us, as we talk about it, it just seems like it's happened way quicker than we could ever imagine that this church would be our home. And so I look back on 2016, it's not over yet. I just thank God and I praise him for how he's moved in and through even me here and elsewhere, and through us as a congregation. And it's just so clear to us that grace is the place that he had for us. And so as we come to Thanksgiving, that's one of the things that's top on our list. So for you, what has God taught you this year? If you're not sure what God's taught you, this is a great time to just slow down and reflect during the holidays. Even if you need to maybe, I don't know, order in your meal for Thanksgiving Day, or just don't cook as much, you'll enjoy taking time to just reflect on the Lord more than you will the food. I promise, I dare you. If you can't do that, if you can't take that time, maybe you need to reconsider how you use your time. You know, what are some things that you could cut out? Secondly, this is the hard question. How might God have used you more if you were more open to listening to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we don't listen because we're too focused on all of the other cluttery things that are going on in life. Sometimes, and I would say maybe most times, we don't listen because of pride, or we're afraid of what people think, or that we just can't admit that we're wrong. I don't know, maybe I'm projecting myself onto all of you, but I tend to see that a lot. As we reflect on just kind of that goal of becoming grace this year, are you a more gracious person now than you were in January? Do you let offenses roll off more easily? Are you more accepting of people's differences, slower to judgment, and open to maybe hearing the circumstances behind what people are dealing with? Are you willing to biblically reconsider your stances and opinions and views based on God's word, knowing that you could actually be the one who's wrong? Do you think that people are more willing to share their struggles with you now? Some of that comes just from getting to know you better, but also with you being open with your own. So are you more comfortable sharing your struggles and expressing yourself around others here? My challenge to you for this week, hopefully, is a really, really easy one. I'm just asking you to come back tonight just to share how you've grown, what you're thankful for this year, especially as it relates to this congregation. We haven't really talked a lot, even though this whole thing is kind of, as we talked about in the beginning, the big view of the gospel. We haven't talked directly about the gospel today, and mostly just reflected on what God's done this year. But it can still be really convicting when we realize that we aren't experiencing God's goodness. Or maybe you just never knew that following Jesus could be so joyful and so beautiful. You know, you thought it was about do's and don'ts. The Holy Spirit's telling you to open your heart to him or to some life change that you need, or just to experience joy again, or if you've never even known the joy of salvation, of living in the way that God created you to live, we're going to be standing here, a couple of us in the corners here in front of the stage, corners of the balcony, just to talk with you and pray with you as we sing. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for your word, for your goodness, for what you've done this year. And so I just pray that you help us all to reflect on how wonderful and good and glorious you are, to praise you for what you've done as well as simply for who you are. And I pray that you will constantly help us to take time to pause and reflect and praise you for who you are and let that impact everything that we go through. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
Seated, please. We talk about Selah. It's about pausing to think and to reflect, and that's a big part of what we are doing here in communion, the Lord's table. We pause to reflect on our sinfulness and Christ's sacrifice and his forgiveness. So as we come to take these elements and prepare for the Lord's table, just reflect on that greatest gift that he's given. John Parshall will pray for us in a moment as we come to the bread, but as we look at this in Matthew 26, verse 26, the beginning of it, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples.
Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you for this service, for this time we can reflect back. Help us all to think back on that day when you were on the cross for us, where you died for us so that we could have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Help us to honor you in everything we have and everything we are. Amen.
Take, eat. This is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them.
Father, as we come to the representation of your blood, we just thank you for what you did for us, that you loved us, that you sacrificed yourself for us. Pay for our sins, and we just thank you now for that.
Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. until then and after then, grace, it is time to go.